Genesis chapter 25 today, as we all stand. And let's begin to read in verse 20. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 20. If you happen to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be here, ain't it? Amen. It's a joy to get to come to church and everything. Now listen, a lot of times preachers make this statement. I make this statement that the world is falling down around us. And a lot of times that is figuratively. But this morning, that's true. It's falling down around us. But you know, thanks be unto Christ. He's got us, don't he? Amen? No matter what the world's doing, my faith is in him. You know why I could lay down and go sleep last night at my home and not worry about things? I'm kept by Christ. I'm kept by Jesus and my faith in him. Thank God for that. Genesis chapter 25, let's look in verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for the message that is in front of us to preach. Lord, as we get ready to preach, I pray that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. We're just looking to heaven and ask for some help this morning. We certainly need you, and Lord, we can't do anything without you. And I know that, and I realize that, and these people know that. And Lord, we pray just for your help, that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. We pray in that, Lord, if there's one lost, that you'd save them. We pray that you'd bring them to a place of repentance, and that they would trust you to be their Savior. Lord, I pray you'd convict their heart this morning. We pray in that for the one that might be struggling. We pray that you would touch them and help them this morning, that they would find the grace that they need and the help that is in you, and only in you can it be. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Help us now, and we'll give the glory and save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look in Genesis chapter 25, if you go back to the first part of the chapter, you find that Abraham has died at this point, and he gives and that to his children. We find he gives everything to Isaac. We find that Isaac has married Rebekah at this time. If you remember the story about that, me and my wife read that the other day together. We was reading about Abraham's servant going out in that to get a wife for Isaac. Goes back down to his own people. Didn't want him to marry that one from the land of Canaan, but wanted one of his own people. And so he goes back, his servant does, and gets Rebekah. And that's just a wonderful story if you read all that in yourself, with yourself, and how that his servant said, "Lord, I'm going to come up here to this well," and said, when one lady comes by, said, "If she offers not only to get me something to drink and my men, but offers the water of the camels too," said, "I'll know that'll be her right there." And boy, here come Rebekah, and she said, "Hold on a minute, let me draw some water for you and your men." And so she drawed water, and she said, "By the way, I'll draw some for your camels too." And so boy, he just praised the Lord. The Bible said he bowed his head and worshiped God. And so at this time, we know that Rebekah has come and went with the servant of Abraham. She has married Isaac. Bible said in verse 20 that he was 40 years old. She's can't have children. He prays for her. He entreats to the Lord in verse 21. And the Bible said that she conceived. But then in verse 22, it said, "And the children struggled together within her." Now, let me park right here and make a statement that all of us know. I noticed that the Bible called them children. They were children. They were child, that there was a human life and that growing inside of Rebekah. As a matter of fact, there were two growing inside of her. Two men, two young men, two babies in that, that they named Esau and Jacob. And we know that there was two nations, and that of Edom and that of the nation of Israel. And that come out of Jacob right there. And Edom come out of Esau. But I want to look in that and deal with what it said in verse 22 where it said, and the children struggled to get her within her. You know, that's the only time in your Bible, if I've done my study right, that you find the word struggle or struggle. That's the only place in the King James Bible where that word is mentioned. And listen, the word struggle, and that means to strive, which means to fight. Ain't that like brothers? They were already fighting from the very beginning. And they struggled and they struggled. But listen, that word goes on to mean this, to make efforts with a twisting or with contortions of the body. How many of you have ever been in a struggle? And not necessarily with somebody else. I mean, not necessarily fighting, but maybe lifting something up or carry a load, and you were struggling to do that. You got in all kinds. You know what we call it around here? We'll ask somebody, say, did you get in a bind? Did you get in a bind? Are you struggling to carry that, you know? And listen, I've struggled many times and that to carry some things and to do some things, and it means to do something with great labor. Now, do you ever wonder why we struggle with inside ourselves? Do you ever wonder about that? You ever wonder why it is a struggle and that to live for Christ some days and to get this flesh under control? You ever wonder about that? I wonder about that sometimes. As long as I've been saved, why do I still struggle and that with my flesh? You know why? Because just like these boys were as different as night and day. One come out red, hairy all over. Another was just as smooth skin as could be. One was a man of the field, which was Esau. He loved to hunt. Another was a keeper at home and dwelled in tents. The Bible tells us they were as different as night and day as they could be. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Listen, your spirit is alive on the inside of you. Your flesh is on the outside, and it's dead in Christ. I have no doubt about that. But this thing's still living, friend. And we still struggle with it from day in and day out, don't we? What a great day it is when we really figure out how to get our flesh under control. And it is ours to bring under subjection, ain't it? It's ours to bring under subjection. It's us to do that. Listen, we say, God, would you help me bring it under subjection? God, would you bring it under subjection? Hey, listen, it's up to us to bring it under subjection. He will help us. He will instruct us. He will direct us. But listen, it is up to us to get it under control. And we can get it under control. Amen. It's all out of this book and studying and living for Him. And by the way, the devil does want us to struggle. But these, and by the way, if you look right here, it says that Juan said that two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. It's all in who you feed, by the way, as to who's going to be stronger than the other one. It's all in who you give in to is who will be stronger than the other. Now, I know greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I understand those things and I know that. But if you give way to your flesh and you let your flesh have control, it's always going to rule you and rule me if we do that, friend. And so we have to bring it in that under subjection. And so we struggle sometimes. Now, I'm going to tell you, the older that we get in Christ, the more mature that we get in Christ, I really believe the less that we probably should struggle in our flesh, because we should have how do you say this? I'm going to be like Jacob. I'm struggling for words this morning. But we should understand some things about our flesh the more that we mature and grow in Him, to know that He is pleased with us when we bring it under subjection to Him, to know and learn by reading in this book and by watching others that have brought it under subjection. By the way, you can and I can bring our flesh under subjection and that to the Word of God. Amen. But I want to look at some things this morning and that about that word struggle and the struggles that we go through. And I think that that people struggle sometimes. Do you ever struggle? Do you ever struggle mentally? Man, do you ever struggle spiritually? I know we struggle physically. And especially the more we work and the more tired you get. I was weed eating the yard the other day, Brother Randy, and I mowed the yard and weed eating the yard, and it was about 95 degrees outside, and I was way down there next to the highway, and I had to walk back up my driveway, and I was carrying that old heavy weed eater with me, and on the way, it was a struggle to get back up there to the top of the hill. And I never was so glad to get to the top of the hill and just throw the weed eater down and sit down and rest. Now, if I was to lose a little weight and exercise a little more, that might not have been so bad. Amen. But I struggled. And I think we struggle sometimes in our life. And I don't think the Lord really wants us to struggle, but we're going to look at some things, just about three things this morning in struggling. Number one, do we struggle and that to trust? Now, this whole thing about struggling, we've got to understand some things about trust, and we'll see about the Apostle Paul here in a minute. But let me say that there are people who struggle and that to trust Christ Jesus to be their Savior. They really struggle with that. They try to figure it out, and that in their mind, they try to rationalize why Jesus would come and die for them. They try to rationalize how God could leave heaven and come down here. We understand that God left heaven, ain't that right? Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Son, the only begotten of God. Listen, we understand that Christ came, but when folk try to rationalize that, instead of just trusting what the Bible says, they're going to struggle. You know what? When you just believe what the Bible says, you can give up the struggle, can't you? You can give up the fight. You can give up what's going on the inside of you. And you can come and you can trust Christ and put your faith in Him and say, Lord, I believe You died for me at Calvary. I believe You rose again on the third day. I know I'm a sinner. And I've come to You and asked You to save me. And when you do that, He'll save you. Amen. The struggle's over with. Again, that's why He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You do not have to struggle with salvation this morning and getting saved. You just got to believe God. You say, that's tough for me to do. Listen, you just got to come by faith and just believe Him. Then there are those who struggle and that in to believe that God done what He said He would do. You ever seen somebody, right? Maybe you're here now, maybe you've been there, and that struggle in to know that you're saved. You ever been there, or maybe you're there now, or maybe you've seen somebody that has struggled with it? Listen, there's one thing that I've learned over the years, and I've struggled with it too. Listen, friend, back in the day, until you get that thing settled and believe God for what He said, you're always going to have a doubt in your mind. Did God really mean what He said He meant? Let me ask you this. Maybe you're here now. You know, well, did I come and say the right thing? Was God really dealing with me when I moved? Did God really want me to come and get saved? Did I say the right thing? Did I act the right way? Did I really place my faith in Him when I come and got saved? The devil will run all that through your mind, and you'll let all that deal in your flesh and in your heart. And I listen, and did I really understand? That was always a big one for me. Did I really understand what I was doing when I done it? I don't thank the Lord really wants, or really expects us to understand a lot when we come and got saved. All He wants us to understand is that we're a sinner and that we need to get saved. And so all these things play in people's minds. And listen, and if you give and that lead to them, they're going to wear you out and you're going to struggle and you're going to contort yourself and twist yourself until you're just miserable in your own life. You know, until you get that thing settled in your heart. Let me say this, that if you moved and you come, I just remember the night that I got saved, I just wanted to get saved. That was it. My testimony may not match somebody else's. And what I mean by that, you've heard them people talk about, man, when I got saved, and I know I've mentioned this before, they talk about how the grass was greener and the sky was bluer and the birds, they sung so much louder. And it was just a wonderful thought and all these things. But you know, you take somebody at 7 or 8 years old and they get saved and you're just explaining to them about sin. And they trust Christ. And then they hear somebody that it was 40 and 45 years old that got saved and God saved them out of a lifetime of sin. And their testimony don't match somebody else's testimony. I've heard men say, if you're doubting that you didn't get it, well then John the Baptist is in a mess is all I know to tell you. I don't know how we got here, but ain't it all good this morning? Listen, if you're struggling with that thing, I want you to understand, and you need to get that nailed down and need to get it settled, but I'm telling you, if you come and you ask Christ to save you, He's going to keep His word, friend. He's going to have saved you and He's going to keep you, and you can put your faith in that and quit struggling about that thing. But until you decide to turn that thing loose and quit worrying about it, we struggle. We struggle. We struggle when the storms and trouble comes. We struggle when darkness and midnight arises. We struggle when temptation and that comes, and when the devil messes with your mind. And man, he messes with my mind so much sometimes. He messes with yours. And if we give him leeway into our mind, then we're really going to be in trouble. Take your Bible and go over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm getting started here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul talked about right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't want you to get the idea that Christianity is just a life of struggle. Because I don't think the Lord really wants us to struggle, but there's going to be struggles that come in our life. There's going to be days that come and weeks that come that, listen, that we're going to struggle with some things, that whether it is dark times or whether it is stormy times or whether it is temptation times. But look at what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which come to us in Asia. Now let me park right here for just a second. The Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and trouble has come to him in Asia. You know, he got in trouble about everywhere he went for preaching. For preaching. That's what he got in trouble for. He got in trouble for preaching. But what to God did we get in trouble for preaching and presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? He look here. He said, which come to us in Asia. Now watch what he said. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. So what did he say? He said, look, he said that I got in trouble in Asia. And he said, and in that point and in that time, I was pressed out of measure. You know what he's saying? I was struggling with some things. You ever been pressed out of measure? Been pressed out of shape? The heat and the weight's been put on you? Listen, when you press something out, listen, it's changing everything that's going on around you. It's changing how the whole situation. It's changing how your thought pattern. I notice what he said, though. He said, above strength. He said, look, I got pressed out of measure so much. It was above strength. It was above what I could handle. It was above what I could do. In so much that we despair even of life. I thought my life was going to be taken from me. And he said, I was pressed out of measure. We look at the Apostle Paul a lot of times, and the Old Testament saints and the New Testament disciples and apostles. And we look at those men like they were superhuman and that they were supermen. And by the way, God did use them and touched them and gave them gifts and gave them the ability to perform miracles and do all kinds of things. But one thing you have to remember is they were men. You know, the Bible tells us about Elijah over here that he was a man of like passions such as we are. You know what that means? He was just like us. And so we find that he was a man. And so right here we find that the Apostle Paul said that I was pressed out of measure. He said in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in whom we trust, that He will yet deliver us. So let me ask you this morning, that when we do struggle, then do we trust? It's easy for me to stand behind this pulpit and tell you, when you're pressed out of measure and you're struggling and your life is turned upside down, just trust God. It's easy for me to stand up here and tell you to do that. But I look at the Apostle Paul right here and I find a man, and I'm not sure if this is the time, I'm not sure what was going on in Asia during this time. There's a lot of things happened to him over there. If you go back to the book of Acts, but listen, he was so pressed out of measure that he thought he was in despair of his own life. He thought he's going to die. I'd call that struggling, wouldn't you? Listen, it's like this. He said, even though I'm struggling, even though I'm pressed out of measure and had the sentence of death in myself, but he said that we should not trust in ourselves. He said, even though the struggle was real, and even though the struggle was in me, he said, I couldn't do nothing for myself, but he could. He could. I don't know what you struggle with, but I know He can. I know He can help you with the struggle. You go to Job chapter 13, and I believe it's verse 15. He says, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Job said, everything that I'm going through, it looks like God's going to kill me by the end of it, but I'm still going to trust Him. You know what He's saying? You've got to take your hands off of it and let Him handle it. I would say that many of us have not seen this in real life, but we've probably seen it portrayed on TV, that somebody is out in the water drowning. And they're out there flailing around and they can't swim, or they've got hurt and they can't swim, and so the lifeguard goes out there to get them. What is the one thing that they have to do when the lifeguard gets there? They have to trust the lifeguard. They have to quit frailing around. They have to quit kicking. They have to quit swinging their arms and let the lifeguard get a hold of them and begin to go back to shore with them. The one thing when it comes to us in trusting, when we struggle to trust in the midst of our struggle, the one thing we have to do is just turn it loose. That seems so easy to do, don't it? That seems so easy to just say, it's magical, just to turn it loose. But when you come to the place that the Apostle Paul had said in verse 9, that the sentence of death was in himself, he said that we should not trust in ourselves. There was nothing else he could do for it. There was nothing else that he could do to help himself. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're struggling today, I would dare say there's nothing that you could do to help yourself. But if you bring it to Christ, he can. As I said in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'll give you some examples, or an example in my own life. There's been times that I have struggled, whether it was mentally or spiritually or whatever was going on in my life, that, that I've come to an altar and said, Lord, I want You to handle it. I want You to take it. I need You to handle this situation. And I'm in it. I'm in it. I wanted Him to handle it. I wanted Him to take it away because I couldn't handle it no more. And I would get up, whether it was here or whether it's at home in my prayer life, and then I would automatically begin to struggle with it again. You ever been there? You really want Him to take it. You really want Him to have it. But if you don't turn loose of it, and trying to figure out how to turn loose of something is hard for me sometimes. Man, I'm just being honest with you this morning. I'm not of the thought of just to get up here and say, well, just trust God. And
But you know, at the end of the day, that's what it takes. Is you're just going to have to place your faith in Him and say He's going to handle it and He's going to take care of it. I mean, He's going to handle it. It's like the drowning victim. They have to put their faith in that lifeguard. They have to. If not, they're both going to drown out there in the middle of the water. I know there's times that it's hard to see God. I know there's times that it's hard to find God. Read Psalms 42 sometimes. But sometimes we struggle to trust in the midst of our struggle. Number two, I think sometimes we do struggle. I think God allows some things to come into our life so that we will look up. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think sometimes the struggles come, the midnights come, the problems come, the trials come. Can I say this? If we never had one trial, listen to me now. If we never had one trial, would we ever look up to heaven? If we never had a problem, would we ever look up to heaven? I'm not saying God puts problems and trials on us to make us look up. I'm really not saying that. Well, let me say, I may be saying that. Hold on a minute. Let me just park here for a second. Not every struggle that comes may be for that reason. Sometimes we struggle because of our own ignorance, don't we? Sometimes we struggle because of sin that we have let into our life, and we struggle because of it. Job 14 tells us, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Sometimes we simply struggle because we're living in the body that we're in. But if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look in verse 7, and the Apostle Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I would say that Paul was struggling right here as the messenger of Satan come to buffet him. You know what the word buffet means? Do you understand what that means? It means to beat in contention. It means to beat on, strike on, to beat against. Imagine if the messenger of Satan come day in and day out to buffet on you. To beat on you. To fight with you. Imagine if you had to wake up every morning and had to fight. Now your preacher said something that was pretty ignorant one time from behind this pulpit. And boy, I thought it was a great saying when I said it, and then I learned better. Some of you are wondering what it was because you thought I have said some pretty... No, I'm only kidding. I said, I love a good fight. And from that time that I made that statement, I've been in a good fight. Now, you better be careful what you say about some things sometimes. Because the Lord may just let you live up to some things. The Apostle Paul, notice what it said right here. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, the Lord had given him some things, hadn't he? The Lord had revealed some things to him. Paul was the only one that I know that was caught up into the third heaven and heard some things that was unlawful to utter. He didn't talk about what he saw. He talked about what he heard. God had caught him up into the third heaven. He had got to see all that. I mean, God had revealed things. Listen, he spent 3 years on the backside of Arabia there in the desert with Jesus. And the Lord had revealed some things to him and let him know some things. And he said, unless I should be exalted above measure. There was sent the messenger of Satan to buffet me. To beat on me. To pound on me. That's what you want, ain't it? We We talk about wanting to live close to God. You know, the closer we live to the Lord, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be sweet, but it's going to be a fight. The closer you draw near, listen, the madder Satan gets. The more this church does, and that for the cause of Christ, the more we're going to have to fight him. You realize that, don't you? He is our adversary. Now, the Lord is there to fight our battles. I understand that. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But listen, we've got to do some things. You know what the Apostle Paul said? The Lord came to him and said, Paul, he said, I besought the Lord thrice. He said, I prayed three times. That's the Lord. That it would depart from me. And here's what God told him. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, in your weakness, when you can't do anything, therefore I shine the best at. Therefore I get the most glory out of your life for me is when you're weak, Paul. When you're at your lowest point, that's when you shine the best. Well, that don't sound too exciting, does it? He said, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes he's not going to take the struggle away. He's just going to allow us to go through the struggle. He's going to allow us to be able to bear up and under the struggle. We may be contorted. We may be bent out of shape. But we're going to make it through it. Our Christian life is not always a struggle. It's not. I don't want to paint that picture. I don't want you to gather that idea this morning. It's not always a struggle, but they're going to come. They're going to come. There's something that age has done to me. You know what it's done to me? It's made me realize that people struggle. Man, when I was probably in my life, you know, I got saved at 14. I started preaching at 15. Started to sell out in my early 20s. And I used to think everything was black and white. That book is black and white, by the way. The Lord's got standards. And He's got convictions for you to live by. So what are you saying? I'm saying that I used to think, well, if you're struggling, boy, just give it to the Lord. Let Him handle it. He'll take care of it. He'll bring you through all of it. And that statement is so true. He will bring you through all of it. But sometimes it's not always going to be the happiest times. Sometimes we're not going to be smiling all the time. But the Apostle Paul, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what sufficient means? That means that it's good enough to do the job. Sufficient. So you know what that means? He'll bring you through it. So then he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength, not mine. The Lord Jesus is saying, Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I would rather be buffeted on and have the power of Christ on me as to not have this going on and missing the power of Christ. Therefore, I take pleasure in... Did you catch that? Therefore, I take pleasure. I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul trusted in the Lord. He put his faith in Him, even though because He was the one that he went to. And listen, if there is anything that the Lord Jesus knew, He knew what it meant to be beat on. He knew what it meant to be struck on. I mean, He knew what it meant physically. He knew what it meant spiritually to be beat on. He knew what it meant to be tempted. He knew what it meant to have Satan come and buffet him. He knew those things. It's when we've done all that we can do that we just let Him have it. The struggle, to struggle spiritually, Sometimes the struggle is there for us to see the Lord. He does want us to look up. And sometimes the struggle is there for others to see the Lord work in our life. Do you know that there is some people that the Lord, let's just put it like this, He may allow you to struggle so that somebody here in the church can see that. They might not have been able to make it if that struggle would have been them. They might not have been able to make it. But seeing you go through what you went through, seeing that, yeah, you can make it through that, that, yeah, the Lord was faithful in all that. Yeah, He did come out of your rescue. And yes, His grace was evident in all that. I heard Reagan Riddle say something one time. He was talking about the death of his dad. And he said when his dad passed away, he said God's grace was evident. But he said this. He said about a year later, Mama got sick and said she was getting close to passing away. And he said you could just feel the grace of the Lord just begin to come and hug up on you. You know why he knew that? You know how he knew that? He'd been there before. He'd been there before. If you went through one struggle and experienced the grace of God, then you know what to look for on the next go around. Just follow what I'm saying. You know that the grace of God is real. You have experienced or seen it in somebody else's life for it to be real. I remember people, when I was a young Christian, people would talk about the grace of God. And I understood the grace of God in salvation. I understood that. God's unmerited favor to us, that if we would come, we could get saved. As far as being able to understand it, I understood what they meant when they talked about the grace of God. It wasn't me that had done anything. It was all because God loved us. And He wanted to save us. But I always, not necessarily struggled, but I always wondered, you know, you talk about the grace of God in a Christian's life. You know, it's still God's unmerited favor toward us that He shows up and that He helps us and that He strengthens us and that He gives us clarity of mind. And that He just gives us strength to be able to push on through and go on through whatever we're going through to get us through to the other side. Have you ever just done anything? And I hate to use this as an example, but I remember when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, we worked in the biker patch. That's all we had to do around here. It was either working in the biker patch or the hay field. The biker patch or the hay field. That's how we made our money growing up. And if you've ever cut tobacco, you know how tough that is. We'd start in the morning and we'd work up until a little after lunch. And then we might quit for 2, 3, or 4 hours until it cooled off. And then we'd come back and work all evening. And I remember working for Eddie McCosh. His biker patch wasn't that wide, but man, them rows was as long as you could see. I mean, they just went and went and went and went. And you know what you had to do to get the job done? Even though you're tired and you're wore out and you're still out here working, and I was a lot younger back then than the man now, you just keep going. You just keep going. You know what we do as Christians? We just keep going. We don't quit. We don't sit down. We don't stop when it gets hard, do we? We just keep going. You know why? Because the Lord comes by and He gives us a little strength or a whole lot of strength depending on what we need. And that's by His grace that He comes by and strengthens us to keep going. We look at Job. I believe Job, we still ain't done with this book in the Sunday school class, but I find his story, his book, so interesting in the very fact that that is the oldest book in the Bible. Now, it's not the first one in the Bible, but it's the oldest book. And I've always thought since I started teaching this, out of all the books to give us first, the Lord gave us Job. Now think about that for just a second. He gave us the story of a man that lost everything, but loved God and remained faithful to it all. That's the very first story that He gave us. What's that tell us about us then? You know, you ever think about why Job ended up in the shape that he was in? Think about that for just a second. Why did Job go through everything that he went through? Because he was a just man and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" You know why Job ended up going through what he went through? Because he was a servant. He was living close to the Lord. Sometimes the struggle is there to help us. Listen, we don't know what's coming down the road. We don't know what's coming down the path. We don't know what kind of struggle we're going to have to face later. And by the way, I really hope that some of the struggles that I've went through and that my wife's went through and that me and hers went through together, I hope that it is to help somebody else later on down the road. I hope that I can look at somebody and say, listen, I do kind of understand what you're going through. God was faithful right here in my life to strengthen me and bring me through this and bring me and her through this, to bring our church through this, and He'll do you the same way. We look at Job and we understand that. We looked at Job last week. But we find that God was faithful to him and His grace was evident in everything. Struggle. Getting bent out of shape. Your body's been in contortions. You ever been trying to pick something up and you got to try two or three different ways and you get twisted around and you finally get it? You know, sometimes things just become too heavy for us to carry, and we struggle with it. But you know, there's one there that cares for you and cares for me. He said, casting all you care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'll be honest with you, I don't know the easiest way for you to cast your care on Him. I know casting means to just throw it on Him. Just, that's what cast means. It means to throw. As they casted a net, listen, to throw it on. You just got to give it to Him and let Him have it. And say, Lord, I'm just placing my faith in You. I'm going to let You handle this. I know that I'm going through this right now, but I'm looking to You and I'm trusting You every day. And maybe that's what you just need to come and tell Him. And say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You. And if you've got to say that in every breath that you breathe and every time you pray and look up to heaven and say, God, I'm trusting You, then you do it. You say, Lord, I'm just trusting You. I'm trusting You to handle this situation. Trusting You to help me in this struggle. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Keep your heads bowed. Give me a little music. I don't know what kind of struggle that you've got going on today. It may be midnight in your house. It may be midnight at home. It may be stormy. You may be going, listen, I don't know what people go through until you come and tell me. I don't know. I don't know. It's a serious time right now. Listen up. I don't know what you're going through, but I tell you, there's one in heaven that does. There's one in heaven that cares for you. There's one that wants to help you. And you say, I'm not going through anything right now, preacher. Everything's great and everything's good. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I hope that that is true for most of you. And here for all of you. I hope you're not struggling. But if you are, there's one that wants to help you. You may be struggling to believe that Christ Jesus came and died for you and can save you. I want you to understand, friend, if you'll just come by faith, placing your trust in Him. And that's the problem I'm having, preacher, is just placing my faith in Him. Just believing that story that you tell, that there was a man that came from heaven and died and rose again under His own power, and He came because of me. I'm not asking you to try to figure it out. I'm asking you to believe. He's asking you to believe. Are you struggling with salvation this morning? Are you struggling with troubles and problems and trials and temptation? You need to come and pray, Lord, there's the heaven. Cast all your care upon Him.